This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. It's your sports bros. Hope you're having a nice little Monday.
Well, we're sports and hard.
We really are.
Outside of my brother's lawn mowing shoes, this has been almost all sports.
We're partying.
Like Eugene Party Bros. But without the moms.
Coming up, we will talk more about Rich Strike, striking it rich.
What a cool thing.
Like, awesome thing.
You know, I don't know
best
about
thing of the weekend in sports anyway.
Yeah. Horse racing to me is one of those things that's, I don't pay attention to it minus something like this. You know, you pay attention if there's a Triple Crown threat, but
going to horse racing is fantastic.
Yes.
It's fun.
But on TV, it doesn't do anything for me. But
and you bet on them like you think you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And you win, and you're like, I'm so smart.
Oh yeah.
I always dive into the program they give you right before each race, and I like try to make the most educated guesses I can.
Hey, do you know what I did last time I was at, we go to the one down in San Diego, Del Mar. You know what I did? And it freaking worked. He won me money. And I told him if he's ever in Portland,
like the horse, he's up there, and you're like, hey, if you're ever up here, some oats and hay on me, come on up.
Right. I DM'd a Del Mar racetrack betting handicap expert guy.
Where did you just see, him in the stands? Or
no, you don't Google him. You just search Twitter for him, and then you look through their Twitter feeds, and I found this one guy who's always there, and he's always talking about the horses and clearly knew what he was talking about. So I just DM'd him.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man.
Hey, if you're ever...
Who do you like in this second race? And he DMs me back. He's like, oh, you should go. And I'm like, oh. So I did that for all the races, and he won me like $1,000.
Really?
Overall, yeah. It was great.
I love that he was just willing to just DM one single person there.
Like, I think those guys, like, they don't get a lot of love. I mean, that's what he does, but that's a small-time operation,
exactly.
Man. Like,
why not share the info?
He's like, I think he was just excited to have somebody, like,
to bounce
think that
stuff.
His knowledge was so good that I wanted it.
Yeah.
And he was really good, so I fooled my brother because I didn't tell him any of that. And I'm like, I keep winning these, man. You should take this horse. He's like, how do you know all this?
Kind of
I study my Del Mar racetrack. You know, you got to study. Let's go.
Yeah, we used to have that back here when we had the dog races here in Portland. My dad really liked those. And
we can't do that anymore.
Can't do that anymore.
That's almost completely gone, greyhound racing.
But my thing is, isn't that kind of the same thing with horses? It's the same.
I would like to ask this question at some point as we talk about the Kentucky Derby, which will probably only be today, so maybe it will be in this hour. But do you think horse racing ever just goes away? Or is it only a matter of time before it goes away?
It's a good question.
Because the Kentucky Derby is an important event.
It is.
And a lot of people go there, and it makes a lot of money.
See, I don't think it will ever go away because the rich people like it. Dog racing went away because it was just an everyman sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There too many when rich people really like something, it never really goes away.
No, they're in charge.
They're in charge, right? And if you look into, and I get it, there's some ugliness that went along with dog racing. Look into horse racing. It's really, really nasty, too. It's just that...
It's not great.
No.
Well, hell, the head horse racing douche didn't even get to participate in the Kentucky Derby because he's suspended.
Yeah.
For being a douche.
Yes.
Bob Baffert, right?
Yeah. And they ship a lot of those horses down to Mexico and they get slaughtered and sold off for meat. And
well, that horse that won clearly had roid rage right after the race. Did you see that?
It was snapped. How many lines did that Rich Strike do while it was in the gate? God, like, let me just do a couple railers here and go.
Well, anyway, we got a little horse racing talk.
Yeah.
And a segment called Local Sports Beans. Right now. Oh, and then in the club tonight, let me see what I put in there. I can't remember. Oh, they have said that the best photograph of a UFO ever taken has been published.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I wonder. No, I have not seen this. And this is kind of my point. I feel like UFOs just will never get any sort of headline. I feel like an alien could land tomorrow and it would be on the front page for like 8 minutes. And then the Supreme Court would do something and we'd freak out about that. The alien thing just doesn't move the needles like it used to. People would be like, ah, it's not real, it's fake or whatever.
It's not really, it's just UFO, like just something that they couldn't identify. Doesn't mean it's aliens. Could be a drone, could be something. But anyway, this was like, it's like 40 years old.
Yeah.
And they just released it.
Now we're like, what?
Well, no, they just released it. They say, the experts, the people, it's the best photo of a UFO ever taken. And they published it over the weekend. We'll talk about that right now. The Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air.
It's clearly fake.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
You believe that the photo is fake.
This is the problem that I have with it. You see this photo and you're like, well, that doesn't look real at all. It looks like something that Mike created on Adobe.
We shall discuss.
Yeah.
Number five.
Here's your hot local golf news that I would like to corkscrew in here.
I can't wait.
Both the Ducks and Beavers women's golf teams are competing at the NCAA regionals. The Ducks are in Albuquerque and the Beavers are in Franklin, Tennessee. And Oregon is in first place after day one.
Hey. Go Ducks. Now, I know the Ducks men's team has won a national championship.
Yep.
Do the Lady Ducks, or am I going to get canceled for calling them that?
Yeah, I don't think you can say that. It's the Oregon women's golf team. Oh. And I don't know if they've ever won a championship. I don't think they have, but they just won the Pac-12 for the first time ever.
Oh, all right.
And they're really good. So the
Duckies.
There's a gal by the name of Brianna Chacon. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not. But she is leading. She shot 7 under today. She shot 65, which is a course record out there for a regional. The Beavers are tied for 6th. They are 5 over, and you have to be in the top 4 in each region to advance to the NCAA championships, which are coming up.
Let me say this. Go Ducks, go Beavs.
And I, being a golf fan, am going to keep you posted on their on how they're doing.
Well, dare I say, that is much better than your normal golf thing that you
matters.
Cram in there.
Ducks and Beavs.
That
oh,
matters.
Here's another normal golf thing that I'm going to cram in there. The PGA Championship is next week at Southern Hills in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Both Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are in the field.
Oh, okay. I thought Phil, well, I guess Phil's not, the PGA hasn't banned anyone because they haven't gone and played in any of those things, but are we about to see the end of Phil on the PGA Tour?
No. That's a whole other segment. Arrest warrant issued for NFL free agent Earl Thomas. He violated a protection order by texting bad stuff to his baby mama.
Yeah, he was making some threats. And you can't do that, Earl. And Earl was trying to make a comeback after 2 years of being out of the NFL. And this isn't going to help. You know, I don't know if he's going to be able to make a comeback anyways, but I think this one will just about do it.
Pete Carroll is hinting over the weekend that Seahawks could be in for a reunion with KJ Wright. Wright has said the team knows that he wants to go back there. And one other former Seahawks note, looks like Richard Sherman is close to becoming a member of the Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcast team.
And I bet you he will do a really good job.
Now, he won't be the color guy or anything. That's Troy Aikman.
Yeah, he'll just be part
maybe
of
he's
the,
like a
color member like Sarah Gusa did that, or maybe he'll do some halftime stuff.
Exactly.
I just think Richard Sherman is I like whenever he speaks and kind of gives his opinion, I think he's got a J.J. Redick quality about him. I like it.
NFL announces 2 games for Monday Night Football in Week 2. Now, they're calling this a doubleheader. However, I would contend that it is not a doubleheader, as the games will be on at the same time.
Yes.
That is not a doubleheader.
No.
Am I wrong, Bill?
No, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Like, all the games on Sunday, you don't have, like, an eight-header. Right. All at the same time.
That's right. This is not a doubleheader. I don't know why they're doing it this way, but Tennessee will visit Buffalo, followed by Minnesota at Philly. The first game is on ESPN at 4:15 our time. That's Titans-Bills. And then Vikings-Eagles will be at 5:30.
Yeah.
And that one will be over on ABC, so they will overlap.
The full schedule is going to be released on Thursday, but there's a bunch of them that have already leaked out. We probably know. And you just look it up. Pro Football Talk had it today. There's probably about 12 games that we know. Like all the Thanksgiving games.
We knew that.
We know all that already.
You know they're playing on Christmas this year. This is something you missed while you were away. You were down in Tijuana.
Yeah, there's one on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, right?
Ooh, I don't know about Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of games on Christmas Eve because it falls on a Saturday.
Yeah, Christmas is on a Sunday, so they're playing football games on Christmas this year, which I think is great.
Yeah, it says right here, 11 games will be on Christmas Eve and 3 of them on Christmas Day, but none of those have been announced yet.
Back-to-back MVPs for Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic, 7th back-to-back MVP winner since 2000. Nothing official yet, but we'll know likely later in the week, but that's according to Woj. Jokic is expected to get a supermax offer from Denver this summer, which would be 5 years, $254 million.
Because last year he was making $59 on that deal, if I saw that correctly.
Wait, $59 a year?
No. Remember, it goes up each year, so I think the last year of that supermax deal... Yeah.
It's an average of 51,
but his last year he will make, it's like $59.6 million.
Damn.
That he'll make in that last year of the Supermax.
Hope he didn't get hurt.
And he did say that he would obviously like to sign that.
And we have reports of Coach of the Year is going to go to the Suns' Monty Williams.
Yeah, Devin Booker leaked that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. So, again, that one also not official, but that's what we're expecting.
All these things leak out. You can't keep these things quiet.
Kings have a new coach, retread Mike Brown of LeBron James fame. That's interesting.
Yeah, go him.
Go him.
I don't know. Like, Mike Brown? Like, does that do anything for anybody?
Well, apparently it does something for the Kings.
Is that not the most Kings thing in the world? Like, how do you get a fan base to be less excited? I give you Mike Brown.
I have a small Kings gripe, if I may.
Is it Mike Brown?
I'm just going to jot it down here on my notes just for next segment. We'll get to it. Also, Terry Stotts interviewed with the Lakers last week. How about that?
I did see that.
The Terror Bear.
And I guess some people are upset, but like Phil Jackson is advising them?
Yeah.
Kind of helping them get that thing pointed in the right direction.
They love Phil. You know, Jeannie and Phil and the whole thing. Yeah. Know? Whatever. Phil knows what he's doing. Like, why do people hate that? That makes no sense to me.
Well, it's because he doesn't have any sort of official role, and, you know, it didn't end well the last time he was in New York, so apparently some people are taking offense at that.
NBA playoffs tonight, you have Celtics-Bucks game 4 in Milwaukee. The Bucks are up 2-1, but right now in the second quarter, it is a dog fight as the Celtics lead 34-33, which is 6 minutes left in the first half. Later we get Grizzlies-Warriors game 4. Golden State holding a 2-1 lead, and it looks like Ja Morant will likely not play with a knee injury.
He was doubtful and did not participate in shoot-around, so we'll see what happens. By the way, that last year of Jokic will be the 27-28 season. $59.1 million he will be due if he signs that Supermax deal.
$60 million.
$60 million.
I just
rounded
that up, by the way.
Yeah, I love that. From 59.1,
give him another 900.
He'll be fine.
All right, there is your Hot 5. It is refreshed by Coors Light. Right now feels like a great time to kick back and relax with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Rich strike talk, local sports beans, and just a minor little Kings gripe coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, so before we get back to the weekend at the Kentucky Derby, which was amazing, a quick Kings gripe that has just popped up as we were talking about them hiring Mike Brown. And I'm with you that when you see the Kings hired Mike Brown, it just feels very Kingsy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it's like,
really?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, my gripe is that, do you remember when this owner of the Kings burst onto the scene and why he was lauded and why everyone thought he was going to be the next big thing?
No, I
Vivek
don't.
Ranadive. You don't remember that?
I remember him, but I'm...
Yeah, you know him, right?
Yes.
He's a software developer turned billionaire, and he bought the Kings. And when he bought the Kings, freaking Malcolm Gladwell, and I'm a Malcolm Gladwell fan. I think Malcolm Gladwell is greatness. He wrote a chapter in his book, David and Goliath's, about Ranadive. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the premise of why we fell in love with this guy?
I don't. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
So Gladwell wrote about this, but I guess, so Ranadive's from, he's from Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grew up on cricket and soccer.
Okay.
Also known as socket.
I didn't know that.
And when he came over to the U.S., he had kids. He got married and had kids. And then his daughter started playing basketball. And he said he remembers the first time he watched basketball and he didn't understand a thing about how we went about defending the other team. In other words, he would see how one team would score and then everybody would just freely run over to the other end of the court and you're basically not defending 75% of the court was his big,
sure.
That was his big idea.
Okay.
It's like, this is dumb.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if we sat down and watched cricket for the first time,
yeah, we'd
like,
have
what?
Some hot takes.
Yeah.
That, yeah. But then if we go over and buy a cricket team, I don't think anybody's like, oh, this innovative son of a bitch. He knows nothing about basketball.
It's a very Ted Lasso like situation.
Exactly. And so then, he coached his daughter's basketball team.
Yeah.
And all he did was implement the full court press because he didn't understand why you didn't defend the whole court.
So he's not familiar with Nolan Richardson, apparently.
And so they won a bunch of games, and he became, like, seriously, if you listeners out there have read that part of Malcolm Gladwell's book, David and Goliath, something I'm missing, you please let me know.
So you're saying he was going to revolutionize basketball with something that's been around for 100 years?
Yes. That was like the big thing about him is like, oh, look at his ninth grade basketball team. Like, what?
Oh my God.
That's why they loved this guy.
It's like Mike Lynch played a lot of Madden. He's like, let me tell you what, I got this Cover 3 scheme that I've been running in Madden Fantasy and no one's going to be able to defend it.
Hey, Lynch is on the phone, so I'm going to make fun of him real quick.
Yeah, oh, go for it.
Darn it. He caught me. I thought he wasn't paying attention. He was tweeting about how he's going to play as the Colorado Rockies and on Twitch or something. Or
what?
The 2020 Rockies or something like that. Do I get that right? Yeah.
Are you playing video game baseball?
He was inviting people to watch him on play as the 2020 Rockies.
Who doesn't want to see Mike Lynch play as the right. Colorado Rockies live on PlayStation?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway, now he's listening, so it's no fun to make fun of him.
Yeah, sorry.
Ranadive became this big, like, oh, he's an outside-the-box thinker, and he's going to revolutionize. Dude, God. That franchise sucks. And it sucks even worse with him. That was my whole point of that.
Well,
I just wanted to bitch about that because...
I did not remember that, but...
I remember it vividly. And it's like... Dude, he coached his daughter's basketball team.
And that was
the big thing. Oh, my God.
I do enjoy when people that have no expertise in something think that they're going to get the real outsider's point of view. It's the people that vote for, like, government officials. Like, hey, this guy has never done anything. Yeah, but he's an outsider. Well, maybe it's not a good idea to hire someone that has no idea what they're doing. Like when you go looking for a doctor, I don't want someone with an outside opinion. I want someone that went to medical school. I would like someone that's an expert in the field. Like if I'm hiring an accountant or a CFO, I might want to get someone with a financial background, not someone that's been watching CNBC and Jim Cramer and is like, you know what? I'm about to take this thing global.
Do you think there's a sport that you and I specifically could watch because we're very astute sportsmen.
Clearly.
Do you think there's a sport that we don't know? Like you brought up cricket. That's a great one. Let's say all of a sudden we go over there and we start watching cricket. Do you think there's any idea that pops into our head that's like really revolutionary for that game?
No.
No, of course not.
No. Because people have been watching that game for 100+ years and obsessing over every little bit. And I'm not
going to. And we're going to waltz over there and just be like, oh, this is the idea. We're going to buy a cricket team and we're going to be great. No wonder the Kings suck.
Anytime you start a new activity, isn't there always that one guy that thinks that he's going to come in and his way of doing things is, he's like, they've never seen me. They've never seen what I'm bringing to the table. Yeah, really, they have. I promise you, they've seen what you're thinking. Jake Paul has a little bit of this, like with that boxing thing. He's like, man, no one's ever seen. Yeah, Jake, we've seen you.
Is he any good at all?
No, he's terrible. But, I mean, he's beating up people that aren't boxers. But like he's going in there now. And like Canelo lost this week. You're a boxing guy a little bit. Canelo got his ass whooped for the first time in like 12 years. And so now immediately it's like, I'd be kicking his ass. You kidding me? I watched the light heavyweight champ of the world take out this guy. Clearly, I'm going to go in there because we both throw right hands. Every idiot thinks that they're going to have the one idea that's going to revolutionize everything. Man, if they could just get me in, like if Elon Musk would just bring me in, my outsider's point of view, Tesla and Twitter would never be the same.
Well, anyway, I hate to sidetrack the show with that, but oh, by the way, late breaking news, Steve Kerr has COVID.
Oh, crap.
And he will not be out there tonight against the Grizzlies. It all ties in quite well. Guess who's coaching the Warriors tonight?
I don't know. Who is their like, head assistant
Mike
coach?
Brown.
Mike Brown?
Kings coach Mike Brown. Has there ever been a head coach of another team coach another playoff team?
Interesting.
In a game?
Yeah.
Because he was just hired.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is weird, too, because...
he wears little Kings polo when he's out there?
Promote the Kings. Randy Deeb's going to show up and tell the Warriors what to do. Like, hey, you know... I really like the full court press. Should have seen it on my daughter's basketball team. I think we should do that tonight against the Grizzlies. What do you guys think?
You should talk to Dan Lanning next. And we should get him on and you should tell him to run the touchdown play. Hey, coach, I've been thinking about this. Why don't you run that touchdown play? Seems like that's more effective than just dinking and dunking the ball down the field. No. I've been playing college football like 97. I run four wide Hail Mary every time. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's indefensible.
Yeah, this is a text here to the show. Says, this is one reason why soccer bros get so angry.
Yes.
Soccer should do this idea to make it better. That is very true. Yes. Like, you can't possibly know anything about soccer if you don't watch it.
Soccer's so boring, but let me tell you what. I would implement a revolutionary style that one's thought about before.
That's right.
Shut up.
So fascinating. But here's the bigger part of that is that Malcolm Gladwell, one of the smartest men in America.
Very, very intelligent man. Great author.
He wrote about it.
And got schnickered by this.
To legitimize it. You know, it's like, it's crazy. All right, let's get back to the Kentucky Derby. That's 50% stupid. Mike Leach edition.
Waiting.
I don't know where it is.
Man. Hey, Mike, what was the phone call about? You're okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Are you going to win when you play as the 2020 Rockies that all these people are going to watch? It's a lot of pressure.
I hope so. I mean, I just broke the Mariners record for wins with 117. So
we need a Mike bragging montage.
About Mike.
Because there's a lot of Mike humble brags.
Did you just brag that you broke the Major League record on a video game with the Colorado Rockies?
That's 50% stupid.
Yes, I did. With one game left, I broke the record. It was tight.
All right, I will not be on Switch watching you.
Switch? How long did it take you, by the way, to play 117 video baseball games?
Well, 161. I have been – well, this is from MLB The Show 20, so I've had this game for a while. So it's essentially taken a year and a half because I took like a six-month break of not playing it.
That just blows my mind.
When's the big
World Series?
When do we not tune in?
I mean, I don't know. I got to finish the last game of the season, and then I'll start the playoffs.
So people on Twitter.
I said I will start it in the next couple of days. If you're interested, I will let you know.
Right. You're going to turn off the game if you lose in the playoffs, aren't you?
God, no.
Yeah, you will. Put all that
Absolutely hate people who do that. I would never do that.
Mike is so angry right now at the insinuation that he would turn off a video game.
Well, I can't turn it off because I won't be turning it on. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Than just your friendly neighborhood steakhouse.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
This series is a very tight series. Both teams are playing excellent defense. It's really coming down to like who can just individually will it. And Giannis willed it in game three. And Tatum, who is the Celtics version of Giannis, Tatum did not have the same aggression.
Okay, that's Brian Windhorst. Has he ever thought of maybe Giannis as a better player and harder to stop than Jason Tatum?
Yeah, look, Jason Tatum's incredible, but can we not say that Jason Tatum is equivalent to the two-time MVP and led his team to an NBA title?
And Giannis
year?
Is just hard to stop.
Yes.
I don't think that's Tatum's fault.
He's a physical freak.
All right, there you go. That is the Who's Leading the Charge report, and it's always brought to you by Battery Exchange. Over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks. Battery Exchange with an X.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Halftime, Bucks lead the Celtics 48-47. Windhorst was right about one thing. That's a hell of a series. Playing some good D.
Yeah.
Dogfight. And yes, this is a correct statement on the text line. Hope Mike Lynch doesn't make any derogatory comments about Christianity while live twitching MLB.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's right.
Don't follow Myers-Leonard's footsteps there.
Right. He would be the second Portland celebrity to step in it on
Get
Twitch.
Get canceled because of Twitch?
Back to the Kentucky Derby, which is a horse race. 250,000 people show up. It's kind of a big deal.
I had a nice little, just overall, it was a really sneaky good sports weekend.
Yeah.
We had the Kentucky Derby that I watched. We had all the NBA and NHL playoffs. I had a really good boxing match, and there was a... It was good, not great, but some UFC fights. So it was kind of one of those, just it kind of snuck up on me. Like Sunday night, I was like, you know what? That's a nice little sports weekend.
Well, the winner of the Kentucky Derby was a horse by the name of Rich Strike. And it's amazing because they are saying it is the second biggest long shot in the 148-year history of the race.
80 to 1, right?
He was 80 to 1. The only horse with a bigger payout was Donerail of 1913 fame. And of course, we were here for that.
I remember Donerail so vividly.
This horse wasn't even supposed to race in the Derby, but they said literally 30 seconds before the deadline to finalize the entries, mm-hmm. This trainer's other horse got hurt, so they put him in.
30 G's, I think they spent on Rich Strike.
Yeah, they bought him for $30,000. Here's an interesting little nugget, and they bought him last year. So basically, the trainer, I saw the interview with the trainer, or maybe it was the owner, afterwards.
Rich Dawson is the owner.
The guy was totally in shock. But he said, hey, we always knew we had a pretty good horse, maybe even a Kentucky Derby horse. And all we did when we bought him was we went from the date of the Derby and went five week increments back and said, all right, we're going to enter him into races where we'll get him ready for the Derby. Mm-hmm. And he wins the Derby. So you could have bought the horse. You could have bought the horse. Mm-hmm. You, Jason Sukanik,
yes,
of radio fame, for $30,000. And had you trained him as well as they did, you would have won $1.8 million when he won the race.
Something tells me, unlike that Kings owner, I do not have the foresight to bring in my unique horse.
So that's pretty good.
My unique horse training abilities to get Rich Strike over the hump.
But there's more.
And the jockey had never ridden in the Kentucky Derby either.
There's more. Okay, so you could have bought the horse for $30,000 and won $1.8 million when he won. Or you could have bet $30,000 on the horse and won $2.4 million.
Ooh. Boy, that's a ballsy move, though, to bet 30 G's on a horse that's 80 to 1. We did
bigger
have a
payout.
It is a bigger
and
payout.
And way less work. The point here is investing is for schmucks, just gamble.
We had a guy text in earlier and said that him and his wife, or might have been a buddy, I thought it was his wife, they said every year for the last 15 years or so, they've put $150 down on the longest shot in the Kentucky Derby. And he goes, well, they've obviously never won until this year. He said they won 12 grand.
Okay, so have they made? So what year did they start that? You said?
He said it was about. He said he wasn't certain, but I think he said it was around 15 years, and they had bet $150 every year.
Okay,
so let's say for 15 years.
Yeah, so they've made money.
Yeah,
just with that one hit,
and they hit it. So I love the fact. Can you imagine though, you do that for 15 years, and you're finally like, man, whatever, I'm not doing it. And then the one year you don't do it, damn horse wins, and you're out 12K.
So the Kentucky Derby winner was more or less the price of a Prius.
Oh.
Should like to point that out.
Yeah. Would the Prius win, or, you know, you get it out there, a little Herbie the Love Bug sort of thing?
But if you haven't seen it, we talked about this earlier, worth repeating. If you didn't watch the Kentucky Derby, which many of you maybe didn't, if it is worth going back and watching.
It's such a, but watch
but it. But watch it, the aerial.
Yeah, there's a drone footage one that follows the horses, and it's
unbelievable.
And it's way better. But he, going into the last turn, Rich Strike was in 17th place in the last turn.
If you watch the aerial version, you can see how he made up all that ground, and it's truly astounding.
Yeah, he's weaving in and out. It's freaking crazy. Now, the question
They said if they ran that race 100 times over, he is not winning again. Like, this was a once in a blue moon type of thing. And USA Today had it, or they tried to explain to us non-horsey people why. And they said, on the day that mattered, everything broke right for him, as sometimes happens in the Derby. The entire race was shaped by a suicidal pace on the front end. 21.78 seconds for the opening quarter and 45.36 for the half mile. Every horse who was running close to that pace was completely cooked by the quarter pole. And you can kind of see that.
And they said it at the
aerial.
Yeah, at the quarter pole or whatever, because I was watching the race live. And the announcer did even say, he said something to that effect. He goes, this is a ridiculous pace. They can't keep it up.
And they didn't.
No.
And this horse was way in the back. So he wasn't on that pace.
He was just hanging out.
And then he gets slapped in the butt a few times by the little short jockey guy.
Yeah, and then he's like, hey, man, you get this. You're going to be slinging that wood for life.
Let's go. Yeah, do you think that... Okay, so this is probably an age-old question, but I don't know if we've ever talked about it here. Do you think does the horse know it's in a race? Is it just being beaten to run faster?
I don't know if they necessarily... Because I've seen an interview on this where it depends, but I think the one... That made sense to me was the horse doesn't know it's in a race, but it knows that the animals instinctually, when everything starts running, they run.
Yeah.
So
does it know it needs to beat the other horses? Like, is it in its head? Like, I got to beat that bitch.
That I don't know. But animals run in packs. So when all the horses, you know, and they've been trained, it's, you know, they know, I mean, you're going as fast as you can, but no, the horse, I don't think has the cognitive ability to know that this is kind of a big deal. It's just out there running.
Does he know he won the race? I think he did, because he freaked out and he was starting to talk ass.
Biting everybody.
People.
Now, the thing is, when you win one of these, normally then you just get retired and then you slang the wood and you get a bunch of money. But if everyone knows this is a fluke, does he really get paid a lot for his studliness? Or is this like
that's
one
a good
of those,
question.
I'm not paying you a bunch of money because we know that you're not that great of a horse and you had a one-time thing. You know, we're not paying for the goods.
Well, he's going to run he's going to run the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So if he wins the Triple Crown, you better believe he'll get money.
I'm asking the question, though.
But I think right now, like if it ended right now,
yeah,
I think he wouldn't be the highest.
No, would it be amazingly low? And if you are the owners and you know that he's not really all that, do you even risk him getting hurt or risk him getting exposed? Or do you just try to leave on a high note and be like, look, man, we'll take the stud fees that we can, because if you get smoked in the next two, that's only going to lower the stud fee.
Yeah, I don't know. They said in that kind of meltdown scenario, the race slows down considerably and leg-weary horses end up staggering home. In fact, the second-to-last quarter was run in 26.62 seconds, and the stretch run went in 25.65. But that was good news for Rich Strike, who lingered in 18th place through the first six furlongs and was 15th after 1 mile. With the right ground-saving trip under Leon, who hugged the rail pretty much the entire way, he was able to use that energy into the stretch and passed. The other thing that was cool about it was the two horses that he passed right at the end.
Was Epicenter was the other one?
Well, there were two. There was Epicenter and Zandon.
Yeah.
Or Zandon, I don't know. Those two were the two favorites in the race.
Yeah.
Those two were the two favorites. He was the longest shot, and he blistered him right at the end.
Yeah. And that was the other thing is his Rich Strike's name was not called by the announcer until he won the Derby. He was such an afterthought. The first time you hear Rich Strike is when it's Rich Strike is going to win.
Well, the only reason he won probably is because Bob Baffert wasn't there.
Bob Baffert wasn't cheating his ass off.
Right. Because I think nobody cheats like Bob Baffert.
No.
And he was suspended. Yes. And so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But that was pretty damn cool. And it prompted a tweet from Mike Leach.
Yeah.
I almost said Mike Lynch, but I caught myself.
Yeah, Mike may have tweeted.
Like
I don't
a professional.
Know. Mike was busy
that
playing.
That is a very common mistake on this radio station. It's just dripping.
Mike was too busy playing Colorado Rockies online baseball to tweet about the Kentucky Derby.
That's 50% stupid.
Mike Leach saying that. Oh, here, let me pull up his tweet real quick.
American Pharoah, by the way, $200,000 for him to do it with your horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I have no frame of reference for that.
Yes, that is a very, very high stud fee because that can happen. I mean, you think about how many times that horse can get it on.
What is the least anyone has ever paid for the semen of a Kentucky Derby winning horse?
And that's what I'm wondering. And I'm guessing it's going to be Rich Strike. I'm guessing that his stud fee is not going to be anywhere near 2,000. It's like 1995. Let's go.
So Mike Leach went viral because he tweeted, "That horse winning the Kentucky Derby today is a good example of why an expanded college football playoff is needed."
What?
That horse hadn't won all the races leading up, but it got its chance, and that's what happened.
For God's sakes.
So let's get Mississippi State in the college football playoff.
Stop it.
Because you never know.
Stop it, Mike Leach. Just stop.
He's not going to stop. Why would he stop? That's his bit.
He's never stopped.
Never stopped.
I do like Mike Leach. I guess they're saying this. Tappet is the number one stud horse. His stud fee is $300,000. That's the most ever. And his offspring have made more than $168 million on the track. So even though he isn't like the best racing horse, apparently his kids are.
Well, how do they know that then?
Well, I mean, he wasn't at one point $300,000, but as he's been doing it.
As his babies win races.
Yeah, the fee just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. So I'm reading his article. The stud fee is basically based on your lineage and, you know, your pedigree and, you know, but it goes up and down based on what your kids do. So like American Pharoah has a ridiculously high stud fee right now, but if his kids don't start winning races, that stud fee will go down. Whereas this horse doesn't have the name associated with it as far as being the great racehorse, but his kids just keep winning, so it goes up. So stud fees can range anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000, again, all the way up to $300,000.
Well, it was a cool moment. Rich Strike. Watch the aerial. It's badass.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's badass. All right, up next, we're kind of stuck in the middle here. But
We got bonus sports?
Yeah, let's go bonus sports talk.
Well, maybe Mike can break down, his...
Who's on the 2020 Rockies?
Have you made a bunch of trades?
Yes, I started this franchise in 2019, so this is my second full season.
Did you really want the answers to these?
Sounds like he's
giving them.
We can do it next segment.
Well, that's okay. Rather not.
I'm sorry.
Well, Blackman.
You're not sorry.
Right?
What?
Yes. I do have Charlie Blackman. He's my three-hole hitter.
That's
Arenado.
Like, yep. I'm sorry I brought this up.
Let's go through the whole team.
One through nine. Maybe we can get into the bullpen and all that.
Bullpen's loaded.
Oberg.
Yep. He is my setup guy.
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, he's my seventh inning guy.
Yeah, it goes to Oberg. Wade Davis?
Wade Davis is my setup guy because I have signed a closer.
Do you and John talk about video baseball?
All the time.
Woo. All right, guys.
Sean Doolittle, my closer.
Who?
Sean Doolittle.
What? He was on that team?
No, I signed him in the offseason.
You can't do that. 551 on the fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we don't have bonus sports because we're out of time. We got to move on to the club.
Mike's video game, Rocky Talk.
Ian Desmond was on that team.
I have to wait for another time.
Should have gotten that one.
I have been told, though, that John and Mike often communicate about their video game baseball teams.
It's how we bond, Souk.
Share screenshots. You know, and
I didn't know. There's a lot I don't know about John Skanek.
Yeah.
Likely. Or maybe not. I don't know. He seems like a pretty simple guy.
Yes. He's like a four-piece puzzle, and they're just big squares. And
well, one of the squares, I didn't know that he was a video game guy.
He's not.
Oh.
He's an MLB The Show guy.
Well, isn't that a video game?
Yeah, but he doesn't play video games.
He just plays
The Show.
But I don't... Well, he does play video games. He plays MLB The Show. So...
In your mind, that's a video game guy.
Well, of course, because he spends time doing it. If you spend your time doing it, it doesn't matter if it's one game or 50 games.
Yeah.
If you spend your time playing video games, yes, you're video game.
Like if you play one sport, but you play that sport all the time, guess what? You play sports. Can't just be like, oh, he hates sports. No, he spends a lot of time playing one. You like sports.
I wonder how often he plays. Will he lie like everyone else about how often he plays? You know, because everyone lies about
how many hours they play.
Look, I don't play that much.
I would never lie about that.
Play all the time.
10, 12 hours a day.
Right.
I'm fascinated by anyone that does the, like, hardcore video game. It's the same thing as hardcore anything guy. Anyone that dedicates that amount of time to really anything, I'm fascinated by. That you can just, you can sit there and do that all day, every day.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, I will once again not be watching on Twitch, but you should.
Yeah, whoever. I don't
know. If you're the loser. I mean, who on earth would watch that? But okay, apparently if that's a thing.
Since you started the conversation, two more people tweeted me and were like, where can I find it? I want to watch.
Two more losers, you mean?
Mike with a captive
audience. Losers are people too, Isaac.
Mike with a captive audience of 9.
Very true.
It's going to be a whole thing.
Do they? Yeah. Hey, I'd be thrilled if 9 people were watching me.
How many do you need to start selling ads? Start hitting them with a couple ads, but, you know.
Would it be embarrassing if I told you I've passed that threshold and I could start putting ads on my stream?
Yeah. Well, no, wait, what? No, that's not embarrassing.
Well, I don't stream, but I
how many is it?
It's like total views that you've gotten on your channel.
Okay. How many? Something for like,
I don't know. I don't know. I got an email that said, hey, you can be a Twitch affiliate now, not partner. Partner's the higher level. You can be a Twitch affiliate now.
Not a partner, no.
And you can start putting ads on your site. And then I tried to look at the information and then I ran out of time.
You could do ads for like hemorrhoid cream from sitting down, Co-Red Mountain Dew. I mean, all of them. Just load them up, man.
I don't think I would have a choice. I just think it plays whatever ads they have.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then you get it cut. You get
a very small percentage of it. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple cents.
Some tasty change right in your pocket.
When you get that 4 cent check.
Considering
would you cash that?
I Twitch stream like 3 times a year. It didn't seem worth it to me.
Step your game.
I'm
going to
start Twitch streaming.
I don't think you are.
Yeah, let's go.
I don't even think you know what that is.
Every time you,
I imagine it's an
you
app.
Bring up the term Twitch, you're like, I don't know what that is.
Is it an app?
I'm assuming it's an app. Yes.
It's a website and an app. Yes.
Okay, so I'm one for one.
Oh, you're so dialed in.
Do you know the website address?
Twitch.com.
Nope.
Twitchstream.com.
Nope.
What?
Twitch.tv.
Hey, maybe you could do a live stream of you watching the golf channel.
Yeah.
Well, you could do a live stream of watching my live stream of the Rockies in the playoffs in 2020.
That's a good idea.
Steal more viewers to your stream than I would have on my stream.
I think mine would be more interesting.
The question is, what's the most boring thing that someone watches on Twitch? Because
that's a good question.
That's got to be high up there.
What else? Yeah, like it's just all people playing video games, or are there other things you can watch?
No, there's other things on there.
I'm assuming
it's like 90% gamers, but there's other people on there.
I assumed
there.
It was a lot of porn, but
you can't do porn on.
You want to watch me do it?
I check.
Can
it
I
out.
Live stream my?
You can, and then you'll get banned real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They frown on that.
You need an OnlyFans for that. The Isaac Rop OnlyFans. Let's go.
Now, if you would like to Twitch stream.
And then I would advertise it on Mike's Twitch stream.
Scantily clad versions of you and then promote your OnlyFans to where you could have the porn. Then there's some cross-pollination right there.
Yeah. It's like your beefcake photos from Italy. Just throw those up there.
Marketing.
I
internet
like that
marketing.
Term, cross-pollination.
That chest hair alone is worth, 4 or 5 viewers.
That's what I need more of now in my brand.
Chest hair?
Cross-pollination. All right, the club is next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.